Rouge 910 AM, W245 CT Hayward, and always streaming on the Civic Media app.
ABC News, I'm Sherry Preston. Those who evacuated the beach areas of Hawaii are now being allowed to return home as the threat of a tsunami eases on the islands. The warning coming after one of the strongest earthquakes ever recorded hit off Russia's far east coast. Hawaii Governor Josh Green says they're still watching the ocean, however.
We still have not seen any wave activity come past the Big Island. That's important. Until we see what happens on the Big Island and the full wraparound of the islands, we won't feel that we are in a position to start seeing and saying that we're kind of in the clear.
All of the west coast of the U.S. is still under an advisory for waves. Police in New York City investigating a second note left by the office shooter this week. Sources describe it as an apology to his parents in Las Vegas. British Prime Minister Keir Starmer announcing that the U.K. will join France in recognizing a Palestinian state at the U.N. General Assembly in September if Israel doesn't agree to a ceasefire in Gaza. This is ABC News.
As Wisconsin is summer weekends being spent on the lake, this is the Civic Media Radio Network.
On your entertainment beat, I'm Pete Schwabe. Three Body Problem is moving forward with a two-season cast. The show about a Chinese scientist who inadvertently signals aliens, then discovers they are headed towards Earth and will arrive in a couple decades, was a critic's darling after season one. The scientists band together with a detective to help stave off an existential planetary threat. Claudia Dumit and Ellie DeLange join the cast. Season two of Three Body Problem drops in 2026 on Netflix. Here's a Pete pick. It's an oldie, but a goodie. For whatever reason, I never got around to watching the show Dexter until this past weekend. The Showtime drama thriller about a forensic scientist who is a serial killer, but only kills those he deems deserving, is at times suspenseful, thoughtful, and complex. The show dropped in 2006 and ran for 8 seasons. If you're looking for mystery accompanied by some dismemberment, you have several seasons to binge, and all of them can be streamed at Paramount+. For more showbiz fun, tune into Nightlight with me, Pete Schwabe, weeknights from 6 to 8 p.m. on the Civic Media Radio Network.
A house divided. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports from the Packers training camp in Green Bay, where things got a little testy. I asked quarterback Jordan Love if fights on the practice field can lead to division in the locker room.
No, I mean, it's one of those things where, you know, this is football. We got a big team. It's not like basketball or any of these other sports. These guys are battling every day, O-line, D-line. They're banging every day. So there's going to be some chippiness on the field, but at the end of the day, you got to be able to dap each other up and, you know, find ways to compete through the whistle and understand that we're team at the end of the day.
The Badgers football team at UW-Platteville for the next couple of weeks to begin preparing for the season. Head coach Luke Fickell.
We got to use it the best way. Just because you're here doesn't mean you use it the best way. There's great opportunities with facilities and things like that. But in order for us to do this the best way, you know, our guys got to spend time together.
Baseball, the Brewers and Cubs today in Milwaukee. The Crew winning last night 9-3 to take a 2-game lead over Chicago in the standings. With sports, I'm Mike Clemens.
Where working people come to talk. It's the Rick Smith Show, weeknights at 9 on the Civic Media Radio Network. Join me for an honest approach to the issues American working families care about. No talking points, no focus groups. Get ready for a heavy dose of democracy, fairness, grit, and no apologies. It's current affairs from a working class labor perspective. Facts are center, science is real, and everyone gets a seat at the table. The Rick Smith Show, weeknights at 9 on the Civic Media Radio Network.
Maggie Dawn.
At 4:30, I'm joined by Lisa White, one of the Democratic candidates in the 17th State Senate District, for this installment of Broad Appeal next.
The Maggie Dawn Show, weekdays 4 till 6. Connecting audiences, powering brands. This is Civic Media. Learn more at civicmedia.us/advertise.
Partly cloudy with more of that smoky haze from those Canadian wildfires today. Our high 77 this afternoon. Tonight down to 50. Tomorrow partly cloudy, 75 on Friday. Sunny with a high of 78. I'm meteorologist Sean Cable. Right now it's 57.
Not completing high school is more of a social thing than it was an academic thing. Even though all these years have passed, I still had that longing to have my diploma.
At age 30, Carissa finished her high school diploma.
If you're even considering getting your high school diploma, you can do it.
No one gets a diploma alone. If you're thinking of finishing your high school diploma, you have help. Find free adult education classes near you at finishyourdiploma.org. That's finishyourdiploma.org. Brought to you by the Dollar General Literacy Foundation and the Ad Council.
Jay Matinair and Greg Bach.
Coming up on the show, Dr. Kristen Lierley will join us to talk about funding or not of Planned Parenthood. Hour number two, we recombobulate with Dan Schaefer. Join us.
Matinair on air, weekday mornings 9 to 11.
I'm Stephanie Hoff along with you on a Wednesday morning. You're listening to the Midwest Farm Report. The team here at the station agrees that food is a primary highlight at the fair, especially at the Wisconsin State Fair, where you can find incredibly unique foods. Are they all delicious? That's for you to find out. We did get a look at the best of both worlds yesterday afternoon during the Sporkies competition. The Sporkies encourages state fair vendors to create next level foods for all ages, and expert judges determine the top three. Drum roll, please. Here are your winners. In third place, Mexican street corn pizza. You can find that at Charlie's Pizza. At number two, Brat Rangoon from Wurst Bar. And the number one fair food you've got to try during the Wisconsin State Fair, the butter banana French toast lumpia from Lumpia City. Cows on pasture, equipment auctions, and Christmas in July. These are some of the topics we'll be exploring with you this morning. Don't go anywhere.
Bavaria sausage is so much more than just award-winning brats. Fabulous Farm Babe Pam Yonke can attest to it. They've got all kinds of fantastic food, both online and in their store location, corner of Nesbitt Road, Fitchrona Road in Fitchburg. Open Monday through Friday, 9 until 7, Saturday, 9 until 1. Did you know that if you stop by Bavaria Sausage, you can pick up not only those award-winning brats for your grill, but also restaurant-quality cooking essentials like burgers, chicken, pork chops, and steak. They want your event to be fabulous, and they've got it all ready to go. As always, you can check out their website, BavariaSausage.com. Have goods delivered directly to you, or if you're in the area, stop on by. Corner of Nesbitt Road, Fitchrona Road in Fitchburg. Open Monday through Friday, 9 until 7, Saturday, 9 until 1. And don't forget, every Friday, rain or shine, they've got their fabulous brat fry. Follow them on Facebook to know exactly what flavor they're serving up. Bavaria Sausage.
At Channel, we always show up for our farmers.
Is that tar spot or rust?
Incoming!
Definitely rust.
Rick, how did you...
Dropping in to check on your crop, Bill. Let's call your agronomist before that rust can hurt your yield.
That sounds great, but when did you learn to skydive?
Self-taught, Bill. Kind of a prodigy.
From personalized insights to year-round support, Channel Seed Pros always show up. Visit channel.com to learn more. Channel, all in, all season. Read and follow pesticide label directions, grain marketing, and other stewardship practices.
Join our friends from Wisconsin Farmers Union in Booth 607 and Midwest Farm Report at Wisconsin Farm Technology Days on Wednesday, August 6th at 2 p.m. Wisconsin Farmers Union is united to grow family agriculture. Visit WisconsinFarmersUnion.com to learn more.
This year's Farm Technology Days is celebrating generations of progress August 5th through the 7th at Clinton Farms in Bear Creek, Wisconsin. This year's show takes a glimpse into the future of agriculture with technology and technique. Visit WIFarmTechDays.org for a full schedule of events.
Happy holidays, happy holidays, happy holidays.
That's a warm holiday hello from Judy Summers. Judy and her husband, Bill, operate Summers Christmas Tree Farm. I'm Kylie Allen from the southern end of the world's longest barn in Madison, talking to Bill about the year-round production of Christmas trees.
A 7 to 9 foot tree, which is the usual tree height that people are looking for. In the pine, 6 or 7 years normally, but as you get into some of the fir, they can run anywhere from 10 to 12, 13 years before they're full enough and tall enough.
And you mentioned that over the course of time, you've seen the variety or the type of tree that people want has changed. What did you used to see and what do you see now?
When we started in the 60s, it was all spruce and some Norway and white pine. They quickly moved into Scotch pine, Sherwood Scotch pine, which started in the mid-60s, went through the 70s, very popular tree, at which point in the early 80s, everything changed over to, at that time it was Fraser fir, but at that point then pretty much 80 to 90% of our sales became fir trees instead of pine, so which was fine by us. Much nicer tree to raise.
Why is it a much nicer tree to raise?
Less of a disease magnet, just easier to take care of. They take care, they take a little more time to graze up to a usable Christmas tree.
You've been doing a lot of things already this year to make sure those trees are raised up to where they need to be. What has happened thus far into the year?
Yeah, our easiest part of the year is probably January, February, March is when we start looking at getting the fields ready, getting any brush that we can find knocked down. April, we start planting trees, and from the time we put the trees in the ground, we're busy then pretty much every day until, well, right through until Christmas. It's getting the trees in the ground, taking care of them, using some herbicides in order to keep the small trees growing until they get hardened off a little bit before they get competition from the weeds and the grass. And so we do a lot of mowing. I have a high school crew of about a dozen kids that come out and prune all the trees every summer. So that takes a long time, but they do a really nice job. And then as the fall rolls around, then it's a general cleanup. Then we clean up all the fields and get as much brush cut as we can to get them out of the fields and get everything ready in the Christmas shop.
So I imagine that there is a point in a tree's life cycle where maybe the weather plays a role.
Weather, I would say, is our number one concern. When we get the trees in there, I don't use irrigation. Logistically and cost-wise, it just doesn't make sense here. So every spring, every May and June, I'm sitting waiting for the storms to come through that seem to split around us. Good rains enough to keep everything growing, but they need to have the rain through normally July, and then they harden off enough that they don't need a lot of moisture.
Sure, maybe doesn't immediately affect your sales that year, but down the road.
We're in the just coming out of the 2012 drought, which took a year's trees out. So I had lots of trees, but they topped out at about 7 feet. And if a person's looking for 8 to 10 feet, you got to wait a year. So, yeah, it affects you down the road 10, 12, 13 years. So,
if we had to say over the summer, paint the perfect day weather-wise for a growing Christmas tree, what's that look like?
Well, not a lot of people are going to like, like 60s and low 70s and inch or two of rain a week. So, and clouds are a friend. And I've cooked enough out in the sun, so I appreciate clouds. So, yeah, I'm not a hot weather fan. And fir tend to like a little cooler weather. They can handle moisture, whereas they cannot handle high pressure domes and omega blocks where the sun's just beating on them every day and about 90 degrees. So all of the grass and weeds will compete with the trees for the most part. On the other hand, in a hot, dry year, I've had fields that have had taller weeds in them that have shaded the trees enough that they haven't transpired so much that they die. So there's a trade-off. What we try to do is first 2 or 3 years, we'll spray some herbicide in the spring and enough to just suppress the new growth on the weeds and the grass. Doesn't last long. About a month and a half, 2 months later, everything takes off again. But at that point, we can control everything with mowing. So that, and of course, good old buckthorn and honeysuckle that we have to cut out constantly in the fields.
And is that something that grows just in the field or intertwined in the trees? What does that look like?
It's all over. It will grow in the trees, which is the tough one. Guys have to cut it out of the trees, but I've got somebody else come through with a brush cutter, and where he can do it without cutting out my trees. He'll just cut the brush out and then we'll mulch that. Guys take care of a lot of it when they're pruning. Pull the vines out, cut the brush. So it's a constant process of keeping that stuff down.
Is there anything else you think I need to be asking you when it comes to the production side of the trees?
You know, truth is, the more we can stay away from pesticides, the better I like it. And we've used them a long time, but we're using so much less now that it really is nice.
When you were using them more, did you notice any issues?
We didn't until it was more reading the articles from guys that were finding stuff that was happening with theirs. And we never really laid on herbicides heavy because we had watched trees get harmed by the herbicides. So, and as far as the insects, the biggest help we ever got was when they brought over the little eastern lady beetles to eat the soybean aphids, and they finished the soybean aphids in about a week, and then they showed up here and started eating all the balsam twig aphid. And I actually haven't sprayed for insects for probably a half dozen years, so they took that job out of there.
Interesting. So aphids were formerly a pretty big issue then.
Something called them a balsam twig aphid, and they'd get in the balsams, or all the fir really, and form a gummy stuff that held the needles together. And yeah, the metacystox are, but it got sprayed on and went into the tree, and then the aphids ate the sap and died. But it was not fun to spray or anything else. So when the little Asian beetles that everybody hates in the fall, I love them.
Well, it's Christmas every July at Summer's Christmas Tree Farm. That's Bill Summers along with us. From the southern end of the world's longest barn in Madison, I'm Kylie Allen.
What weather is in store for the Midwest today? Stay tuned as ag meteorologist Stu Muck gives you the latest forecast in just moments, right here on the Midwest Farm Report.
You're listening to the Buzz of the North, 910 AM WBZH.
We want to help you promote your community event for free. Tell us about your nonprofit group or organization's upcoming event, and we'll help you promote it on the Buzz of the North. Email us the information or a copy of the flyer to community@whsm.com. That's community@whsm.com. You can also drop off your flyer at our office on East 3rd Street in Hayward, or mail it to 16880 W, Highway 63, Hayward, 54843. Hometown Radio Refreshed on 96.9 WBZH.
It's the Eco Minute, powered by Clean Wisconsin, your environmental voice since 1970. I'm Amy Berrio. Baby bald eagles near the Great Lakes are testing positive for PFAS and other toxic chemicals. Researchers found that eagles living near the Great Lakes had 6 times more toxic chemicals in their bloodstreams than inland populations. Other chemicals found in the baby eagles' bloodstreams were DDT and PCBs, which were banned decades ago. A small Wisconsin school district just got some big clean energy bragging rights. The Elva Strum School District in Trempealeau County unveiled 184 ground mount solar panels that will deliver about 20% of the district's energy needs and will be a living classroom for students to learn about solar energy and energy data. The installation cost $150,000 and will pay for itself through energy bill savings in about 8 years. Knowledge is power. For a deep dive into Wisconsin's environmental issues, check out my Defender podcast at cleanwisconsin.org or wherever you get your podcasts.
Doctors Without Borders is delivering life-saving medical care where it's needed most in communities around the world. From bandaging war-wounded patients in Sudan to providing clean drinking water in Haiti, we're in more than 70 countries worldwide, bringing patients from sick to recovering, from emergency to aid, from crisis to care. This life-saving care is made possible by a global movement of supporters like you. Thank you.
You're listening to the Buzz of the North, WBZH, Hayward's home for Nightlight with Pete Schwabba.
Pete Schwabba.
On the next Nightlight, I welcome Milwaukee film critic Matt Miller and Madison Mustard Museum curator Barry Levinson. Then Appleton's Kim Mothy joins to talk Mile of Music. Let's light it up.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabba, weeknights from 6 till 8. The Buzz of the North, 910 AM WBZH.
Morning. And Stu, I'm happy to hear we finally hit that break in the heat and we're cooling down.
We're going to start to cool it down, Stephanie. That's the big news, although some rain, especially in southern Wisconsin. That's a part of the day today. Weather radar indicating that rain in southwest Wisconsin, just west of your Madison area. Dodgeville, Lancaster, Platteville all seeing that rain this morning, Prairie du Chien, and it's back on into Iowa as well. We expect that the cool front that's off to our south, extending from central Iowa to northern Illinois, will slowly push east and southeast. And at least around southern Wisconsin, showers, maybe a thunderstorm or two could develop today. At this point, it looks like most of the heavier weather should stay south of the Illinois border. But nonetheless, southern Wisconsin, we could talk of some rain amounts, maybe up to a quarter or even a half an inch. That possibility of heavier rain, Madison and southeast, up to an inch or more, could be seen later today or into the nighttime. Generally, that's going to be about the extent. The rain we could probably get along without. It's nice to think it's drying out. I saw combines rolling last night. You know, we're getting dry. We're getting into more harvest phase here. We could do without any kind of storminess. Unfortunately, that front is just off to the south. Low pressure moving along it. We'll keep that rain chance around today or on into the night. Skies clearing out after that, and we have some sunshine and drier weather in store. Comfortable weather, too, for Thursday, Friday, Saturday. We start to moderate, start to warm up a little bit by Sunday and into early next week. And as that change happens late Sunday into Monday, a small chance of rain may redevelop, that possibility brewing up again late in the weekend or on into early next week. So, of course, it does sound like things are all getting better, but let's talk about that Canadian wildfire smoke. And, in fact, an air quality alert over most of Wisconsin until noon tomorrow, because that smoke is going to settle in. And for some folks, that gets to be a dangerous situation. Take it easy and keep in mind that smoke is out there. It may have some effect. You may need to allow yourself a little extra time or maybe put something off if you can. I'll have our forecast details right after this.
Wisconsin soybean growers have a lot of choices when it comes to selecting seed varieties. If you're a seed dealer, help make their choice a little easier by shining the spotlight on your products through the Wisconsin Soybean Yield Contest. By entering customers in the contest by the August 31st deadline, seed dealers will receive $100 for one grower, $200 for three, and $300 for five or more. Growers must complete an entry and harvest form to qualify. For more information, visit wisoybean.org.
Rural Mutual Insurance is proud to sponsor the event tent at Wisconsin Farm Technology Days, August 5th through the 7th at Clinton Farms in Bear Creek. For nearly a century, Rural Mutual has protected Wisconsin farms and supported rural communities with local insurance agents in every county. Join them at the Rural Mutual Event Center for live music, vendor booths, barbecue demos, and more. They're proud to protect what matters most, your farm, your family, your future. Learn more at ruralmutual.com.
This is the sound of corn pests wreaking havoc on your crops. This is the sound of a channel field protected by Bayer's trait technology. With the RNAi technology of SmartStax Pro, the all-in corn rootworm fighter, and VT4 Pro, Bayer's widest spectrum of defense, you can stay one step ahead of ever-changing pest pressure. Find the right corn trait for your fields at channel.com/corntraits. Read and follow pesticide label directions, grain marketing, and other stewardship practices.
Well, we might be getting hit with heat, now rain, now wildfire smoke, Stu, but at least the crops are looking good. The crop progress report shows higher crop ratings in the past week. But, Stu, after the rain today in southern Wisconsin, it does sound like we might be smooth sailing then from here on out, especially during the Wisconsin State Fair.
Oh, I think things are going to work out very well, Stephanie, for State Fair, for any other activity going on as we wrap up this week and start that weekend. Conditions sound fantastic with 70s for daytime highs, even 50s for nighttime lows, comfortable finally building in. Again, the air quality alert in effect for most of the state until noon tomorrow. And today, especially in the south, mostly cloudy, showers, possibly a thunderstorm, a small rain chance in the north. That's about it. Temps up in the low to mid-70s or maybe some upper 70s in western Wisconsin. Northeast winds about 5 to 10. Still a rain chance in the south this evening. Skies start clearing out later on, and we drop into the 50s, mid to upper 50s for nighttime lows. Sunny skies on Thursday, some of that smoke around, of course. Mid-70s daytime highs, northeast winds 5 to 15, and sunny on Friday. Again, mid, maybe a few upper 70s to be seen. The northeast winds at 5. Stephanie, I expect the weekend sunny skies, upper 70s. Sounds just great for some outdoor activities.
Absolutely. Thank you, Stu. That's your Compeer Financial Ag Weather Update. Compeer Financial is your financial partner, committed to agriculture and rural America. Compeer.com.
This is the Buzz of the North, 910 AM WBZH.
You're listening to the Midwest Farm Report on the Civic Media Radio Network. We now take you to an interview with Clean Wisconsin's Amy Berrio. She discusses how the Wisconsin Supreme Court's ruling on a legislative committee's power could affect drinking water in rural communities.
So PFAS are a group of chemicals that are used on everyday products like nonstick cookware. They have tons of uses. They are found everywhere. And some of these are extremely toxic. They've been found to be toxic at very low levels in the parts per trillion. So there are starting to be drinking water standards and water standards for PFAS. PFAS are regulated under the Safe Drinking Water Act. So for municipalities, they are following the current Safe Drinking Water Act standards. But if you live in a community like Peshtigo or Marinette or French Camp or some of these other ones in rural Wisconsin that have experienced extremely high levels of PFAS in their drinking water, they are getting their drinking water from private wells. Those are not governed by the Safe Drinking Water Act. In Wisconsin, groundwater standards, so basically they get their drinking water from the aquifer, it's considered groundwater. Those are the standards that will help folks who are dealing with huge amounts of PFAS contamination in their groundwater, in their drinking water wells. And we don't have groundwater standards for PFAS in Wisconsin. The DNR pursued a groundwater standard. Time ran out on that, and now they're planning to pursue it again. Again, you know, the DNR up until today is thinking, how are we going to get this groundwater standard around these handful of folks at JCRAR? Now that the Supreme Court has made that ruling, we are incredibly hopeful that there will be a standard that gets through finally the rulemaking process. It's still going to take a long time because, again, they have to start all over with this process. It's a meaningful standard, some that are actually at levels that will protect people. Now, with respect to PFAS as a topic, as something that we need to get a hold of in this state and in this country, it is incredibly complex because you have PFAS that are in biosolids that are spread on farm fields. You have PFAS in almost every piece of furniture around us, continually made in consumer products. And the reason why they have the nickname forever chemicals is because they don't break down in the environment. So that means they only have a few places to go: in our air, in our water, and in our soil. So these rules are incredibly important to start to at least take care of the urgent problem, like the people in Peshtigo and Marinette and other communities all across the state are facing. But taking care of the fire isn't the same as taking care of the problem. And we've got an enormous problem on our hands with PFAS. It's going to take far beyond any rulemaking to address, considering how pervasive these chemicals are and how harmful they can be.
To subscribe and find all of Civic Media's podcast library, head over to civicmedia.us/shows.
You're listening to WBZH, Hayward's home for the Todd Allbald Show.
ABC News, I'm Sherry Preston. Those who evacuated the beach areas of Hawaii are now being allowed to return home as the threat of a tsunami eases on the islands, the warning coming after one of the strongest earthquakes ever recorded hit off Russia's Far East Coast. Hawaii Governor Josh Green says they're still watching the ocean, however.
We still have not seen any wave activity come past the Big Island. That's important. Until we see what happens on the Big Island and the full wraparound of the islands, we won't feel that we are in a position to start seeing and saying that we're kind of in the clear.
All of the west coast of the U.S. is still under an advisory for waves. Police in New York City investigating a second note left by the office shooter this week. Sources describe it as an apology to his parents in Las Vegas. British Prime Minister Keir Starmer announcing that the U.K. will join France in recognizing a Palestinian state at the U.N. General Assembly in September if Israel doesn't agree to a ceasefire in Gaza. This is ABC News.
A house divided. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports from the Packers training camp in Green Bay, where things got a little testy. I asked quarterback Jordan Love if fights on the practice field can lead to division in the locker room.
No, I mean, it's one of those things where, you know, this is football. We got a big team. It's not like basketball or any of these other sports. These guys are battling every day, O-line, D-line. They're banging every day. So there's going to be some chippiness on the field, but at the end of the day, you got to be able to dap each other up and, you know, find ways to compete through the whistle and understand that we're a team at the end of the day.
The Badgers football team at UW-Platteville for the next couple of weeks to begin preparing for the season. Head coach Luke Fickell.
We got to use it the best way. Just because you're here doesn't mean you use it the best way. There's great opportunities with facilities and things like that, but in order for us to do this the best way, you know, our guys got to spend time together.
Baseball, the Brewers and Cubs today in Milwaukee. The Crew winning last night 9-3 to take a two-game lead over Chicago in the standings. With sports, I'm Mike Clemens.
Todd Alba.
Hey, everybody. Join us next time. We'll be talking about the gubernatorial race along with Trigby Olson, the Lincoln Project, and Pat Kreitlow. A morning to Pat Kreitlow. Join us.
The Todd Alba Show, weekdays 2 to 4. Reach, engage, grow with Civic Media. Log on civicmedia.us/advertise.
Partly cloudy with more of that smoky haze from those Canadian wildfires today. Our high 77 this afternoon. Tonight down to 50. Tomorrow partly cloudy, 75 on Friday. Sunny with a high of 78. I'm meteorologist Sean Cable. Right now it's 57.
We want to help you promote your community event for free. Tell us about your nonprofit group or organization's upcoming event, and we'll help you promote it on the Buzz of the North. Email us the information or a copy of the flyer to community@whsm.com. That's community@whsm.com. You can also drop off your flyer at our office on East 3rd Street in Hayward, or mail it to 16880 W, Highway 63, Hayward, 54843. Hometown Radio Refreshed on 96.9 WBZH.
Can I sit in the front seat just this one time? Please, please, please.
No, not yet.
But why?
Because I love you, and you're just not ready yet. Now, get in the back so I can get you in your car seat, please.
Putting your kids in the right seat for their age and size is an act of love. Check that your kids are in the right seat at NHTSA.gov/the right seat. Love protects. A message from NHTSA and the Ad Council.
You're listening to the Midwest Farm Report on the Civic Media Radio Network. We now take you to a recent episode of The Maggie Dawn Show, where she talks with UW-Madison's Dr. Chuck Nicholson.
Let's talk about the labor market and sort of like the 1-2 punch that is affecting the agricultural industry, specifically farmers and dairy farmers here in Wisconsin. Not only do you have this chaos, this uncertainty, this much higher expense, much lower appetite from the people that we sell our dairy products to buy them because it is reciprocal tariffs, hence a trade war is what it's called. We have that punch, and we have this 1-2 punch coming from the Trump administration. Frankly, looking at worker shortages this summer, potentially. We're looking at these massive cuts to the Supplemental Nutritional and Food Assistance Program, or Emergency Food Assistance, SNAP, where farmers in Door County and in every county in Wisconsin where there are farmers would sell directly into places that were providing school lunches. Those programs are being gutted. Is this really kind of a perfect storm that Donald Trump has created for farmers?
So we have the possibility you mentioned of lower prices because we can't sell as much of our product outside of the U.S. We have the, and actually through the Supplemental Nutrition Assistance Programs, we actually sell a fair amount of dairy products through those kinds of food nutrition programs, including the school lunch and school breakfast programs. And then we have the possibility of increased costs for equipment and some other inputs. And then we also have the possibility of both labor shortage and higher wage costs related to immigration policy. So if you kind of put that together, the package is not a sort of a rosy picture. In any situation that you can think of, we may have lower prices, we may have higher input costs. Those are things that have a direct impact on the margins for dairy farmers and other farmers in the state. And actually, we could say the same thing related to higher input costs and lower market prices for dairy processors, the folks who make cheese and put it in the packages and take it to the grocery store or take it to your local pizza restaurant. So the combination of these things is not working favorably. I guess one of the things that I kind of like to point out to people is the policies that we have in place are really more kind of collateral damage when we think about what's going on with agriculture. They're not designed to address problems in agriculture really specifically. They're not designed to help policies in agriculture. They're designed to affect kind of these bigger macro and global politics type power type issues. And so agriculture is not kind of in the driver's seat when it comes to thinking about how they're going to be affected by the various policies that are being discussed right now.
To subscribe and find all of Civic Media's podcast library, head over to civicmedia.us/shows.
The Buzz of the North, 910 AM WBZH.
Evil, Matt LaFleur is going to have 16 practices. Oh.
Welcome back on a Wednesday morning. I'm Stephanie Hoff, and you're listening to the Midwest Farm Report. One of the most popular buildings at Wisconsin State Fair Park has a brand new look, returning to its original glory with a nod to the dairy industry. Ben Jarbo has the story later in the hour. First, let's take a look at what we have in store today in the Old Farmer's Almanac. If you look up at the night sky this evening, you'll see that the moon is dangling just below the bluest star in the sky. It's called Virgo's Spica. It's the brightest star in the constellation Virgo and one of the brightest in the whole night sky. Spica isn't just one star. It's actually made up of two massive white hot stars locked in a dance. The name Spica comes from the Latin meaning ear of grain. This is a nod to Virgo's image, a woman holding a sheaf of wheat. Pretty timely, considering Wisconsin's wheat harvest is underway. Now you know what to look for in the night sky, according to the Old Farmer's Almanac. I've got your Wisconsin State Fair update on the way, but first, the fabulous farm babe, Pam Yonke, has an update with some familiar voices here on the Midwest Farm Report.
It's a Wednesday. That means it's time for us to catch up with our friends from the Steffes Group. They're a busy bunch. You can find them online. Fantastic website, steffesgroup.com. You say, well, that's fine, Pam, but I really like to talk to somebody. Well, so do they. Give them a call, 800-726-8609. That's 800-726-8609. Randy Kath back along with us this week to chat a little bit more about some of the items and some of the people that he's working with right here in Wisconsin. Randy, you tell me you've got kind of an interesting opportunity. You know, like you've mentioned previously, all you guys at Steffes Group are farm guys, and I know that a lot of you end up driving combines. You drive the planters, you drive the semi-trucks to take the grain in, so you really got a keen eye when you see a unique opportunity. Tell me about this one that you're working with in the Janesville area.
Yeah, coming on August 26th, we've got an opportunity to buy some grain handling and storage, and the items are going to be removed from the site. So instead of buying real estate, you're going to buy personal property that needs to be removed. But we've got a very low-use, fairly new Sioux Cup 400,000-bushel grain bin and a 130-foot tower, a couple grain legs, some overhead, some grain pumps. It's going to be a pretty unique opportunity. And, of course, with commodity prices where they're at, adding some storage to your potential situation or maybe even adding on to an existing grain facility might be a good opportunity here. We're going to have a large, large bin for sale. More details to come, of course, but we'll have the drones done. We'll have the photos done. We'll have everything right down to the specs and nuts and bolts ready to go as far as removal dates, time, place, all that kind of stuff. But bottom line, August 26th in the Janesville area, your opportunity to add a significant amount of storage to your grain setup.
Yeah, and you know, Randy, this is a perfect example of why the team at Steffes becomes so critical, because it is going to be unique trying to handle that kind of equipment, and you're happy to try to point to certain people, certain professions when it comes to maybe moving that equipment, aren't you?
Absolutely. So we're basically partnered up with several different bin movers. So depending on your location and where you're going, we'll be able to get you in contact with the right people in the right area to accommodate such a move. Obviously, it's a big project, and a lot of heavy materials such as cranes and telehandlers are going to be needed to accomplish the project. But we're not just going to leave you hanging. We're going to offer you up information, phone numbers, and contacts of people not only trained in that entity, but have the equipment, the know-how, and the capability to get it done for you.
You know, and likewise, if I'm somebody that has to maybe talk to the bank about this, a partner, a financier, you guys are also real quick to try to supply whatever documentation is needed to help that process move forward, correct?
Absolutely, and that brings up another good point. Don't be afraid to reach out for STEPIS financing as well. Obviously, projects like this can become, you know, cost prohibitive. STEPIS Finance is available on our website. You can click the link there, send out an application. It's a really, really quick turnaround time. Most responses happen in less than a half hour, some as low as 10 minutes for a response. But don't be afraid to take advantage of that as well.
Man, that's nice to know. Again, another one of the services you get when you decide to work with the STEPIS Group. Randy Kath along with us. I remind you about that website. You'll find more details there, not only about STEPIS financing, but also about those upcoming auctions. And although that one in Janesville is unique, STEPIS handles a lot of unique lineups. Take a look. STEPISGroup.com. That's STEPFES Group.com. Or give them a call. You're interested? You want to learn more? They're happy to help. 800-726-8609. That's 800-726-8609. Randy Kath along with us from the STEPIS Group.
At Channel, we always show up for our farmers.
Is that tar spot or rust?
Incoming!
Definitely rust.
Rick, how did you...
Dropping in to check on your crop, Bill. Let's call your agronomist before that rust can hurt your yield.
That sounds great, but when did you learn to skydive?
Self-taught, Bill. Kind of a prodigy.
From personalized insights to year-round support, Channel Seed Pros always show up. Visit channel.com to learn more. Channel, all in, all season. Read and follow pesticide label directions, grain marketing, and other stewardship practices.
Mutual is the number one farm insurer in Wisconsin for a good reason. As a company founded by farmers, they understand the ag industry and its challenges. Local agents offer farm families the best advice and personalized coverage. Visit ruralmutual.com to find an agent near you.
Rural Mutual Insurance, keeping Wisconsin strong.
Rising energy costs impacting your farm's profits?
Focus on Energy is here to help with increased incentives for energy-efficient upgrades in 2025. Save money and energy for years to come.
Take the first step toward lowering utility bills. Call 800-762-7077 or visit focusonenergy.com/agribusiness today.
That's focusonenergy.com/agribusiness. Focus on Energy, proudly supporting Wisconsin farmers since 2001.
This is the sound of corn pests wreaking havoc on your crops. This is the sound of a channel field protected by Bayer's trait technology. With the RNAi technology of SmartStax Pro, the all-in corn rootworm fighter, and VT4 Pro, Bayer's widest spectrum of defense, you can stay one step ahead of ever-changing pest pressure. Find the right corn trait for your fields at channel.com/corntraits. Read and follow pesticide label directions, grain marketing, and other stewardship practices.
The Wisconsin State Fair is a time to experience everything that makes the state great, whether it be the people, the animals, or the food. Now, one staple of this fair has gotten a facelift. I'm Ben Jarbo with the Midwest Farm Report, and the building that serves up the infamous cream puffs may look a bit different when you enter this year. Tess Kirkson, the Director of Marketing and Communications with the Wisconsin State Fair, says that the newly renovated and renamed dairy building is ready to serve up large amounts of Wisconsin's favorite sweet treat.
Yes, you know, everything old becomes new again, and that is the case here at Wisconsin State Fair Park. Of course, we're here in what was the original Cream Puff building, but back in 1924, when we first started the Cream Puffs, it was known as the Dairy Building, and it was really to showcase dairy in, of course, the dairy state of Wisconsin. And then come, you know, closer to about 10, 15 years ago, we switched it over to the original Cream Puff Pavilion. It actually might be a few more years than that now. And that was to honor, of course, our original Cream Puff. Fantastic. That is what housed in here. They ended up being sold so many Cream Puffs, we really had to have a dedicated space for that. So now we were able to look at this space, really reimagine it, at a state-of-the-art kitchen, which is going to help us crank out so many more cream puffs and also has introduced us into being able to start new flavors during the 11 days of the State Fair. So this year we have chocolate and strawberry, which are so exciting. And it's just great to have this building, one, back as an event space or introduced as an upscale event space. I can't wait for people to see it. But also, of course, in those 11 days, it's the home to, of course, the iconic cream puff.
And if you are walking in, the outside right now does not look too different, but as soon as you step inside, you are faced with the cream puff kitchen here. Is that by design?
Of course. This is definitely by design. You know, the state-of-the-art kitchen here was a lot. It's a big footprint still of the building, and so we had to get really smart and really intentional with how we built out these spaces. So, of course, yes, you walk in, you see the pickup windows, you see the order windows, and that process I'm expecting is going to be faster this year. Now, of course, maybe those first few days we could be working out some kinks. I'll give us some grace there, but this is going to be able to have us operate at a faster pace, and then people can sit in this building and enjoy. The original Cream Puff Pavilion before, while it was great and it had our hearts because it's tradition, it needed an upgrade, and the windows in this building, I cannot wait for people to walk into this space for the first time. I'm going to have to set up a camera to see their reactions. The skylights are beautiful. The artwork that's in here is stunning. It's just going to be fantastic for people to see.
When I walked in here today, I was so confused because it used to be you had to go down in the middle hallway, and now as soon as you get in, you are faced with these delicious treats, and it was multiple flavors, and that was an amazing sight to walk into. But you were also mentioning all the natural lighting. What was the purpose on natural lighting? Is it just to keep it upbeat in here, or what was the thought process?
There was a lot of thought behind adding the skylights. Now, the skylights are actually original to this building. When the Dairy Building opened in 1909, it had these epic skylights. And so when we were looking back at old photos, we wanted to bring that same historic feel back. And so we were able to accomplish that with the skylight structure that we kind of put in place, and also the skylights that run along the perimeter of the building also add additional natural light. And we knew if we wanted this to be an upscale event space for weddings, galas, corporate events, we would need to bring that light in. And so we really were intentional behind how we added the light, when we added it, what directions the sun would be coming from at certain times of day, really to just make this space stunning and versatile.
And is this opening this up to be able to have more events during the state fair in here, like acts or something like that?
Now, you know, cream puffs take up a lot of this space, and of course people eating the cream puffs, but you never know. As we see this space kind of develop a little bit more, as we get through this first fair with this new building, I think we're going to open up to a lot of different opportunity. Of course, not only for the state fair, but we have this building open during our harvest fair come September, and that gets a lot of programming in it. So, of course, we're going to have to be a little careful. It's brand new. We don't want to scratch it. But we're really excited to see what the future holds for us.
Kirkson says that the new bakery within the building will allow them to serve the original chocolate and strawberry cream puffs throughout the whole fair. It will also allow them to explore new flavors for the future. For the Midwest Farm Report, I'm Ben Jarbo.
Thank you, Ben. Wisconsin State Fair kicks off tomorrow morning at 10 a.m. in West Allis. You can check out all the details of entry at wistatefair.com. Stick around. We're taking a look at a new agriculture group in town. The goal? Increase market access for pasture-raised dairy.
Sign up for daily agriculture updates by joining our email list. Head to MidwestFarmReport.com, enter your email address, and we'll handle the rest. More farm news straight ahead. This is the Midwest Farm Report with Pam Youngke.
This is the Buzz of the North, 910 AM WBZH.
You're listening to the American Democracy Minute, keeping your government by and for the people. Last year, we reported that the Georgia State Board of Elections passed new rules aimed at disrupting or overturning the 2024 presidential election. One of those rules, allowing members of county election boards to do their own investigation before certifying an election, was just unanimously struck down. In July and August 2024, the Georgia State Board of Elections laid the groundwork for obstructing or overturning the presidential election. One element granted individual members of county election boards the power to do a reasonable inquiry of election results prior to certifying, potentially sowing chaos and delaying the outcome. The effort by three state election board members, all outspoken Trump loyalists, was part of an apparent scheme in swing states to use the specter of voting by non-citizens as a pretext. The Georgia Supreme Court refused to hear a GOP appeal of a stay of the rules before the election. Trump won the election in Georgia, so unsurprisingly, no objections to certification materialized. June 11th, the Georgia Supreme Court struck down four of the rules. Another case contesting the reasonable inquiry rule was decided by the Georgia Appeals Court July 2nd. The court unanimously concluded that election officials could voice concerns about an election to state authorities, but, quote, have a mandatory duty to certify all election results, unquote. We've linked to more at AmericanDemocracyMinute.org. I'm Brian Beal.
My name is Damar Hamlin. I play for the Buffalo Bills, and I play safety. CPR saved my life. I've teamed up with the American Heart Association as a national ambassador to help create a nation of lifesavers, turning bystanders into lifesavers through CPR education and access to AEDs. Nearly 3 out of 4 cardiac arrests that don't happen in hospitals happen in homes. Join me to ensure everyone has the chance to live longer, healthier lives. Visit heart.org/nation.
You're listening to The Buzz of the North, WBZH, Hayward's home for Matt Nair on Air.
Pat Kreitlow. On Wednesday, guests from the Chippewa Falls School District will talk about declining enrollment and the disproportionate way that school districts are hurt when it comes to state aid.
Mornings with Pat Kreitlow, weekdays 6 to 9. You're listening to The Buzz of the North, 910 AM WBZH.
Recently, the Dairy Grazing Alliance. The Alliance is not yet a year old, but its mission is solid, to lead growth toward a more vibrant dairy grazing sector.
So the Alliance is basically, it's an effort to really create a managed grazing sector within our dairy industry. We're just seeing that there's a real market interest that's out there. You know, we've got the potential and expected growth of over 22% growth in a grass-fed type of a market. Predictions of close to a $7 billion sector within 2031. Much of this sector is sourced with imported type of dairy products. So we really think that there's the opportunity to be able to grow with this sector and grow domestically with it. So that's really what the Alliance is about. It isn't necessarily a membership organization or anything yet. We're really just trying to get traction and aligning with groups, industry type of groups that see a need and an interest and an opportunity to build out this grass-fed sector within the dairy industry.
How much of that is happening in Wisconsin? I don't know if you can put a percentage on it or if there are particular regions in the state that are more likely to be grazing than others. What can you tell us about the status of grazing in our state?
Yeah, grazing has been typically adopted by a lot of the ag of the middle, the smaller the ag of the middle farms. So the reality is we are still losing plenty of those all the way through that sector, you know, whether it's regardless what type of a practices we're using to produce milk, that is becoming a tougher and tougher sector to stay relevant in. We do think that if we have a bit more of a deliberate grass-fed type of a market to produce to, and to be able to follow the upward growth of this grass market, that will give a bit more relevance to some of those egg of the middle type of dairies. Because in many cases, it's hard to really scale these really big because you've got to have an appropriate ratio of land to cattle. If you want your cows to eat, say, 40, 50, 60, 70% of their dry matter daily from pastures outside, cows can only walk so far, so it naturally limits the size of these dairies. So we're hoping that if we can create more of that grass-fed market that these producers can actually service and supply, that it could keep them more relevant within the dairy industry for years to come.
As you outlined for us, there's a market for grass-fed product. Why? Why is that growing?
You know, it's hard to say why it's growing for sure. You know, the customers, they have a lot of different interests and reasons for being interested in the grass-fed type of products. And, you know, whether it is because they identify with those types of farms where they identify with cows maybe being outside Maybe some of the consumers identify, you know, with a different nutrient profile or a different environmental type of a profile or just a different farm type of a size. There's a variety of different interests that the consumer has within these grass-fed type of markets. And whatever it is and whatever that consumer interest may be, the reality is it's there. It is a developing market, and it's a developing market that's becoming more and more significant. And there's no reason why, you know, we can't figure out ways to produce to that market domestically.
Joe Tamandel, along with us, a fourth-generation dairy farmer in central Wisconsin. He's also the founder of the Dairy Grazing Alliance. Stakeholders are going to work directly on financing, market development, farm profitability, research, and advocacy for dairy grazing. I should add the Dairy Grazing Apprenticeship Program also remains a part of the alliance. You can learn more at dga-national.org. For the Midwest Farm Report, I'm Stephanie Hoff. Thanks for tagging along with me on a Wednesday.
This is the Midwest Farm Report with Pam Youngke.
You're listening to the Buzz of the North, WBZH, Hayward's home for Nightlight with Peach Wabba.
The possibility of lung cancer can be pretty scary, especially if you're one of approximately 8 million current or former smokers at high risk. That's why SaveByTheScan.org wants you to know that now there's a breakthrough low-dose CT scan that can detect lung cancer early, and it only takes 60 seconds. You stop smoking, now start screening. For an easy quiz to see if you're eligible, visit SaveByTheScan.org. It could save your life. SaveByTheScan.org is brought to you by the American Lung Association's Lung Force Initiative and the Ad Council.
The battle over California's Proposition 12 is not over yet. That's next on Farm to Fork. The following is a public service announcement from Farm to Fork. As you're listening to this program, a dramatic paring down of 12 regional centers for agricultural safety and health is taking place. These centers rely on funding support from the National Institute for Occupational Safety and Health, and that agency's budget is being cut by more than 98%. Several of those centers have endorsed my 2025 Public Service Farm Safety and Health Campaign, what you're listening to right now. I consider this a loss to the farming community, and while no money is changing hands, a loss to this campaign as well. These centers provide a valuable service to American farmers, their families, and their workers. If you want to make a case for retaining these centers and the services they provide, get in touch with your elected officials in Washington. If enough of you do, there may be a chance to save these services and save the lives and livelihoods of America's farmers. California voters passed Proposition 12 in 2018, requiring pork producers everywhere to meet production standards that were pushed by some animal rights groups. But last week, a bill called the Save Our Bacon Act was introduced in Congress to supersede it. At a House Ag Committee hearing on the implications of Prop 12, there was mixed reaction. Supporters include South Dakota Congressman Dusty Johnson.
Proposition 12 has increased cost to consumers. It has reduced the viability of small family operations, and it has injured animal welfare. Proposition 12 is a fantastic failure, and it is time for Congress to fix that mistake.
Ohio Congresswoman Chantel Brown sees Prop 12's impact as less dramatic.
The reality is that major food and agricultural companies across the country have already moved to comply with Prop 12. They have made investments, integrated new standards into their supply chain, and adapted to a changing market. That tells us that these benchmarks are both possible and marketable.
There's a link to that Ag Committee hearing on the show info page at NorthShoreProductions.com. That's Farm to Fork. I'm Daryl Anderson.
Maggie Dawn.
At 4:30, I'm joined by Lisa White, one of the Democratic candidates in the 17th State Senate District, for this installment of Broad Appeal next.
The Maggie Dawn Show, weekdays 4 till 6.
I love playing sports, especially for my school. And that's because school sports are special. It's where it's safe to fail. It's where we're taught resilience, where our fear becomes confidence.
is where we learn to get back up after every fall. School sports are where 7.8 million students go from I can't to I can.
This message presented by the WIAA and the Wisconsin Athletic Directors Association.
Let's go, Brewers!
You can go to the Brewers.
Wait, Todd, what?
It's Free Ticket Friday, Terry. A chance to win a four-pack of Brewers tickets several times every Friday. Great seats, by the way.
Okay, so download the free Civic Media app, find your local station, and listen for the keyword. Then text it through the app for your chance to win in this statewide contest.
Free Ticket Friday! On your local Civic Media radio station and the app.
Missed your favorite show live on air? It's easy to find what you enjoy wherever you listen to podcasts, including Spotify, Apple, and Google Podcasts. And we're always streaming on TuneIn and the Civic Media app.
This is the Buzz of the North, WBZH 910 AM, W245CT Hayward, and always streaming on the Civic Media app.
ABC News, I'm Sherry Preston. The tsunami warning in Hawaii and the resulting waves not as bad as they could have been.
We haven't heard any reports of any large damage, although we've seen that there's been some flooding on the Big Island in the vicinity of the Hilo Seaside Hotel.
Hawaii Emergency Management Director Major General Stephen Logan. The tsunami warning was lifted and a tsunami advisory put in place for Hawaii a short time ago, following one of the strongest earthquakes ever recorded off the coast of Russia's Far East. Emergency Management Administrator James Barros, though, says...
The advisory still means that there's energy in the water. So as you return home, still stay off the beach and stay out of the water.
The advisories for the U.S. West Coast could last throughout the day. The Trump administration proposing that a scientific finding that has long been the central basis for action to regulate greenhouse gas emissions be revoked because the findings involve too many regulations that are costing Americans, quote, a lot of money. This is ABC News.